I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get into some NFL as we have hit the halfway point here of the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Gresh in for JR tonight. And let's peel apart some of the burning questions of the NFL with Brian DiArdo, NFL writer for CBS Sports, here with Gresh on the Infinity Sports Network. And Brian, I just got done talking about having the best record in the league at the end of October, but I want to ask you about the Colts. Where were you on the Colts? Where are you on the Colts? And are the Colts a legitimate world championship contender?
Those are all great questions. Before we start, I have my own burning question, which is, will my 2-year-old daughter continue to play peacefully in the bathtub, or will she get out and disrupt this interview that we're having and maybe do a cameo of her own? But
That's awesome.
It is. And I will say, she is a suffering Bengals fan, even though she doesn't know it. Her mother is a Bengal fan.
Okay.
And she's certainly hoping that Joe Burrow can get back late in the season, because that defense is, and we certainly need some points there on that side of the ball. But no, the Colts, you know, a lot of people, the doubters are kind of looking at their strength of schedule. I believe before last week it was the third easiest in the league, but that doesn't honestly really matter to me. I think Jonathan Taylor, and we just did a staff vote for midseason awards. Believe it or not, Jonathan Taylor was voted as our league MVP. Mm-hmm. He would be the first league MVP non-quarterback since 2012. But the structure of this team with Jake Ballard as GM has been really good for a long time. They just needed stability at the quarterback position, which they haven't had with Anthony Richardson. But no, I mean, I think Daniel Jones, the thing with Daniel Jones that I think people might not realize that don't watch him play very much, is he's not just a game manager. He's making good, hard down the field throws. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor's taking a lot of that off of him. But to me, honestly, this week is a huge measuring stick for him and the team, because they're playing a Pittsburgh team that is badly, badly injured in the secondary. So to me, this is a game that they should come in. They should win quite easily, I would think. But yeah, I think so far I'm sold on the Colts and what they could do in the playoffs.
I know the trade deadline is upon us. I know that Kirk Cousins has requested a trade out of Atlanta once again, even though it looks like he's going to start this week against the New England Patriots. Is there any reason for me, Brian, in your opinion, to believe that that Kirk Cousins will have a different address at the end of this regular season?
No, I don't think so, because I just think there's been too many situations where they would have traded him earlier. Now, I will say, the only situation I could potentially see that happening would be the Minnesota Vikings, just because of the – now, if J.J. McCarthy was still injured, then I absolutely could see that happening. But no, I that would be the only scenario I could see him potentially being traded. But no, not with McCarthy back and not with their situation. No, I think he's going to stay with Atlanta. And let's be honest, I mean – Cousins didn't look good last week, and that was honestly a surprise to me that he didn't play better. But I still think overall that they're going to hang on to him, because, like I said, they would have gotten rid of him, I believe, in the summer and earlier if they weren't, if they were going to trade him. So, no, I think Cousins is going to stay put by the deadline.
How do you contextualize what we have seen from the Atlanta Falcons this year?
Super underachieving. And I think a lot of it's with Michael Penix. I mean, that defense has been good, but they haven't really won them a lot of games. To me, it just seems like Bijan Robinson has to be the bell cow if they're going to win. He has to have a big game. I mean, Penix just hasn't progressed to the level that I'm sure they were hoping for. And again, like, I thought Cousins was the better of the two quarterbacks. That's why I was kind of, disappointed by him last week and how he didn't play up to my expectations. But to me, he hasn't made that leap. Now, you know, Drake London was hurt last week, so you could attribute that to part of the reasons why they lost the game. But again, I think they're playing New England this week. That's another, you know, big measuring stick game for me, is to see if they can beat a Patriots team that I think them and the Colts are the two most surprising teams in the league. But I think Atlanta is going to get better, because I do believe in Penix. If he's healthy, he's going to continue to make strides. If London's healthy, that's going to help. And the pass rushers they have are young rookies that obviously, you know, barring the rookie wall, they're only going to get better as well.
Brian Diardo of CBSSports.com talking some NFL with Gresh here on the Infinity Sports Network. All right, it is the regular season battle between Buffalo and Kansas City. Brian, do you have any reason to believe that the outcome will be any different from the prior four here in the regular season?
I mean, on paper, the Bills are the better team, and to me, it's all about James Cook. I think if James Cook can take over that game, then I think that the Bills can win this one, especially with Isaiah Pacheco being out, or potentially, you know, being limited with his injury. But, and that, to me, is a huge disappointment if you're a Chiefs fan, because Pacheco hadn't been the same since his most recent injury, and he was really, really starting to come on, I think was a big reason why the Chiefs won 5 out of their last 7 games. But no, I'm going to go with the Chiefs in this game for a few reasons. Number one, the Bills, like many teams, you know, they win and lose with their quarterback, right? And Josh Allen, you know, they're going to put the game on his shoulders. I just think for the Chiefs, even with Pacheco, you know, potentially being hindered with his injury, they've got so many weapons with Worthy and Hollywood Brown, and now Rashee Rice back. And Kelce is still a very good tight end. He's obviously not in his prime anymore. And Mahomes is dare I say, playing at an MVP level. So I do think if James gets rolling, the Bills could steal this one, but I'm going to go with the Chiefs just because of how Mahomes is playing and how that defense is playing.
Brian, any less interest in this game because the number one seed isn't on the line?
I have fatigue when it comes to the Chiefs, so I'm not terribly interested in this game. Like I said, I'm more interested in the Steelers Colts game for several reasons. A, the Steelers, 2 straight losses. Their defense has been dreadful. I mean, and it's the highest paid defense in the NFL. They were banking too much, I think, on Jalen Ramsey being able to convert to safety with the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade. And yeah, I mean, the Colts are 7-1, but despite that, I think there's still a lot of doubt as to how legit they are. And even if they beat the Steelers, who are not as good as them, I do think in a lot of eyes that'll validate them as being quote unquote legit. So that game has more of my attention, but obviously I'm still excited about the Bills and the Chiefs, even with the number one seed not on the line.
Hey, I'm curious, do you view the Steelers' defensive regression a coaching issue, or is it a personnel issue?
It starts with the coach, but it's everybody, coaches, personnel. I think, again, like I said, I think the biggest issue was they were relying too much on older players like Darius Slay. There's a reason why the Eagles let him go. You know, we were expecting Juan Thornhill to replace Minkah Fitzpatrick, whom they traded to Miami. You know, his backup, Chuck Clark, was available at the start of training camp, right? And so, you know, when Deshaun Elliott got hurt, that flipped that game against the Packers all the way. It was 16-7 Steelers before that injury. They end up losing 35-25. So, like I said, I think the whole formula for that secondary was Minkah Fitzpatrick, or Jalen Ramsey kind of being Troy Polamalu 2.0, lining up everywhere and wreaking havoc on the quarterback. Because of the injuries, he can't do that. And so, yeah, I mean, so I think it starts with Mike Tomlin, and it starts with them putting too much faith in older players and ultimately trading a player they should have kept.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian, I know that you've talked about some of the games that that you're kind of hot on. Is Thursday night one of them? Like, I wonder, I think we're all just kind of waiting for the inevitable in Miami, and I think we're almost waiting for the inevitable in Baltimore in that Lamar's going to get back and come and right the ship. Your thoughts on both those teams as they head into a Thursday night battle?
I'm super excited about this game, and mostly because I'm off and I can enjoy it as a fan, so I'm thoroughly
excited. Oh, look at you!
You know, well, if I can win, I mean, Bluey might win on the TV. It might have to be cell phone duty for me. That's all right. You know, 3 inches, 65 inches. It's still football. It's whatever. But no, I'm into this game because in a weird way, like you alluded to, it's almost like an October playoff game. It'd also be Halloween, so we have that little added element to it. But No, there's a lot of intrigue for me in this game. So you look at Baltimore, and I could be wrong here. I'm not a gambler, but I heard that they now have the odds. The odds are in their favor to win the North, despite being, I think, 3-5 and Pittsburgh being 4-3. That's crazy to me, but I believe it because their schedule is super easy. I think they have 4 or 5 straight opponents with losing records coming up, starting with Miami. Lamar Jackson's back. It seems like they've kind of steadied the ship with their defense and some of the injuries they've had to kind of get over. So, I mean, no, I think for them, if they can win this game, get to 4-5, now you're really cooking. You look at Miami, and they have, you know, he's not going to play, but if Lamar, for whatever reason, has an injury setback, Tyler Huntley played for Miami last year and I believe won a game or two for them. So he's ready to go. Miami, to me, if they lose this game, if you're a fan of another team, look at that roster. They got Jordan Brooks, rather, who's had a good season for them. I think he leads the NFL in tackles, if I'm not mistaken. They have him. They have Bradley Chubb. You know, I don't think they would trade Jalen Waddle, but there's a lot of assets on that team that if they lose this game, I don't see why they wouldn't be sellers at the deadline. So again, if it's already been a pretty busy deadline, pre-trade deadline as it is. So if they lose this game, which I think they will, I think you can start to look at some of the players on their roster being in different uniforms this time of the week.
Hey, not only Miami making a move, but like we're seeing college teams now busting moves on their head coaches. Does Mike McDaniel, you know, make it past Thanksgiving as the head coach of the Dolphins? And Brian, who are those hot candidates that are out there? Like when I heard what turned out to be a bum report that Steve Sarkisian might have been sniffing around, I thought that checked out because there's no Ben Johnson. There's no guy on the doorstep that everyone is allegedly salivating over. So if you're a college head coach with some play caller experience in the NFL, maybe you can become that hot offensive guy that everybody loses their mind over to go hire. I'm curious for your thoughts on all that, not only the Dolphins, but the future as to where they're going.
Yeah, I don't think McDaniel survives. I mean, I know that their owner recently came out and gave him his vote of confidence, but I also saw a video of their owner being mad because his car wasn't close enough to his private jet when he landed. So I don't think his patience is that great. Talk about first world problems, right? I mean, Jiminy Christmas. But I don't think he lasts. I know that, you know, they're saying, oh, well, we like him. We want to exude patience. He's, I believe, around 80 years old. I don't think he's probably, like I said, you know, I just use the airport as my example. I don't think he survives. I'm actually surprised that Joe Brady isn't getting more, you know, coach hub. You know, he's the Bills offensive coordinator. They've done an amazing job with him. I mean, I think he, you know, ever since he's been there, I think Josh Allen has performed at an even higher level. He's gotten that running game kind of off the ground. They adjusted to not having Stephon Diggs, and I think that's why Allen won the MVP last year, right? Because he did more from the outside, it looked like, with less. So I think Brady, to me, is the top candidate anywhere. College, it's interesting. Like, I don't think he would leave, and I don't think he should leave. But Matt Rhule's had some success at Nebraska, and he's a guy that, you know, obviously was in the NFL with the Panthers and has that experience. But, you know, other than that, I think here's a super, super, super off the radar. I don't think it'll ever happen, but I'm going to throw it out there. Brian Hartline at Ohio State, who played the NFL as a receiver, I think he's got a big, big potential, potentially as a future head coach. I mean, the players have really resonated with him at Ohio State. It just depends on if he ever wants to leave. He went to Ohio State. He's got, you know, they're obviously having a ton of success there. But Joe Brady, to me, I think is the top guy for any NFL opening that comes up this offseason.
In terms of the retread list, do you think Bill Belichick will be able to get back in line, even though it hasn't been the smoothest transition at UNC?
He will never coach in the NFL again. I'm very confident in that. Now, here's what I'm interested in with him. He's eligible for the Hall of Fame this year. They usually only take one, I think, coaching candidate, and there's a lot of deserving ones: Mike Shanahan, Kyle's dad, Mike Holmgren, Marty Schottenheimer. The rumor is, the reports are, that Robert Kraft, Patriots owner, isn't getting into the Hall of Fame because of his role in Spygate. The question is, will the same thing be held against Belichick? I don't know. And I think that's a very interesting question. And I think, it should he be a Hall of Famer even with Spygate there? Yes, I think he should still be in the Hall of Fame. That being said, should he get in first ballot over guys like Shanahan and Holmgren and Schottenheimer, and that have been waiting for a long time? I mean, Schottenheimer, yeah, because Schottenheimer never won a Super Bowl. But, I mean, Holmgren? And I think the other thing, the longer Belichick coaches, and as you alluded to, it's not going well at North Carolina, it does hurt his reputation and his legacy, even with the Hall of Fame, even though this is happening in college. So I don't think he'll ever coach in the NFL again, and I'm actually more curious to see if he gets in the Hall of Fame during his first year of eligibility.
Well, if people are being serious about it, they'll also look at the general manager part of Bill Belichick, because everybody points to the end, but, you know, the guy also drafted a Hall of Famer in the top 10 with his first real first-round pick, and then it kind of went on there where he had a hell of a streak. So it will be interesting to see if Bill gets his just due, not only as a head coach, but the guy who ran that organization and put a lot of salary cap tricks into play that people end up still using today. So you're right, Brian. It will be interesting. Brian Diardo, CBSSports.com. Your daughter did a great job. We'll leave it at that. Thanks a bunch.
Mom replaced me. The true starter came in the backup left, so I don't know.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So the quarterback came in and took over. Brian, thanks a bunch. I really appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Hey, anytime. Absolutely. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.